Peggy Langan, my good friends in Coot Hill, to the guys in Ballybora Foundry, to Luke Clark, and to Willie Stewart. The boys are heading back to work. When is it? Next Tuesday, is it? Best of luck to you, lads. And indeed, oh, sorry to see the big one go. Also, hi, good afternoon to Tommy Malloy. Thanks, Tommy, for the call. To Margaret Benson. What can we say, Margaret? To Patricia and all our dear friends from Watson Stones. That's the way love should be.
Loving you is easy. There's so many things about you I can find. You're so close to perfection, like an angel I created in my mind. But your lips are warm and willing. You don't have to speak, your body saying yes. And making love to you is something special that words cannot express. You make love everything that love's supposed to be.
Son of Tony Stevens, that's the way love should be played, very special to my dear friends. To Margaret Benson, to Patricia, and indeed to all the gang at Watson Stones in Mississauga. What can I say? Only thanks very much indeed for the golden memories, and indeed you, all the gang, will always be in my heart forever. Thanks to Margaret Benson and Patricia, and indeed to all our friends in Watson Stones. We have a couple of songs coming up from George Jones. There's somebody really special.
Healing's been slow, but you're on your way. memories of all.
I'd say music from the Rachel Jones, and a lovely song it is too, called Best Friends. 17 away from 2 o'clock, the final countdown on the big one. Tony Stevens, fabulous song it is too, African Lady. Well, you never know, she might be in yet. We say a very good afternoon to David and Neil Gray. They're home from Manchester. holiday in Drumleesh in County Longford at this moment in time. And best wishes coming in from Catherine Nula and Claire McNally. Hope you have a nice day, David and Neil. Good afternoon to Mrs. McFarland. She, Mrs. McFarland is out of hospital. Hi to my cousin Jason, to Mum and Dad and brothers, and all the gang in Preston Away. Best wishes coming in from Amanda Sheridan in Elizabeth Speed. Good afternoon to Evelyn McEntee and indeed to my dear friend Martin McEntee in Shercock. Good afternoon to you, Julie Simpson, and indeed to all the Simpson family. They would like to wish us all the very best, and indeed especially hello to Paul. Here's music from Sandy Kelly. The lovely Sandy Kelly and a tune simply entitled Reasons. We'll say we played that very specially for David and Neil Gray. They're from Drumleesh, or sorry, they're from Manchester, holidaying in Drumleesh, County Longford. And at this moment in time, welcome home. Hope you have a nice day. Best wishes coming from Catherine, Nuala, Claire McNally to Mrs. McFarlane out of hospital. Mrs. McFarlane, we hope we'll find you well on this New Year's Eve. My cousin Jason to Mum and Dad, brothers, and and all that trust and away. Best wishes coming to you from Amanda Sheridan in Elizabeth. Also, hi, good afternoon to Julie Simpson. Very happy New Year indeed to the Simpson family. They want to say hello to Paul and indeed to all of us here at the station. Sorry to lose you. To Evelyn McEntee, the McEntee family in Shercock. And a very special hello to my dear friend Martin. Indeed, we're looking forward to meeting you, Martin, in the not-too-distant future. Hope we find you well on this New Year's Eve. So, 12 minutes away from 2 o'clock, we're on the final, well, hour and 10 minutes. Sorry to say, here's to his company.
Soldier and his sweetheart standing by. Their heads are bowed in sorrow. He'll be leaving her tomorrow as she pinned a rose unto his breast. She sighed. When the roses bloom again down by sings a sweet refrain. Sweetheart, don't be sad. You almost died. I'll be with you.
from Eamon O'Meara, better known as To His Company When the Roses Bloom Again. All right, it's 7 minutes away from 2 o'clock. Good afternoon, happy new year to Tommy and to Helen Smith in Mount Nugent, to Michael and to Sarah MacDonald in Jerry Lynn. A very happy new year to all. Best wishes coming in from who? Jerry, Marie, and a family in Drumkilly. And indeed to Helen, lady of song, as he would like to play a track from Helen's cassette, four-track cassette, to the name of it. We'll play you the title track, which is simply entitled It's a Lovely, Lovely World. It certainly is. Tommy and Helen Smith. That's it. A lovely Helen taking lead vocals there. And a great new four-track set Helen recorded sometime back. We'd like to wish her all the very best in 1989 on the road. To Michael and Sarah MacDonald in Derry Lane, happy new year to all. Best wishes from Jerry, Marie and family in Drumkilly. The man of the moment, the man who put show back in show bands. He put us all behind a microphone many years ago. How many years ago, by the way?
Seven, Tony. Seven and a half thereabouts.
I was talking to a lady there a couple of moments ago on the phone, and she was asking, you must be 3 or 4 years on the air. And when I said we're seven, she says it couldn't be 7 years ago.
Doesn't seem like it.
Because she actually remembered back to when it started first.
Was that stage one? Don't you say. There's been an awful lot of stages since ECR.
I was just, of course, we're all reminiscing this past couple of days, Brian. But I was reminiscing, and I have to take you back to the Poor Clare Convent here in Cavendish. I was listening to Sean McManus last night. He was talking about the porthole. And you looked out the window to see what way the wind was blowing.
That's right, Tony. Unfortunately, when we started the station, nobody, and neither was nobody in the country, I think, those who were familiar with the operations of a radio station, and it was virtually impossible to get somebody to make a transmitter. Mm-hmm. We were involved with two particular gentlemen. Time. We had spent an awful lot of money trying to get a transmitter built. Again, I'm saying that it was probably ignorance on our behalf and their behalf, and I suppose probably the rest of the nation. Nobody at that time wanted to know about building transmitters for us. We spent an awful lot of money on the first one. We had it.
What put this thing in your mind, Brian? I often meant to ask you that.
Tony, we tried, we anticipated doing it many, many years before that, and it was so uncommon, or what would you want to call it? They were in Dublin, all right, but nobody had them down the country. And a couple of fellas, I think, had one away down in Scott's house, called Radio Caroline, I think it was. And that, I think, was the first thing that put it into my mind. Again, I had been playing discos at the time.
That's what I was going to say. You yourself, you were involved in the music scene for many years.
You're going back.
I'm going back, because we're into our last hour.
Tony,
an awful lot of people would be saying, well, you know, What is the bank? What is the behind the scenes?
Well,
what is the story about it all?
With the discos. You know, I had an interest in the club and discos, and there was some paths at the time, and I felt that there was an opening for a radio station, not knowing what I was getting myself involved with, and I never thought for any moment of time that it was so involved or so much pressure or anything else, but we decided that we'd start. We went about the first one in the convent, and unfortunately it didn't happen. We lost an awful lot of money.
Right.
And we decided to pull the plug.
Right.
Now, Sean McManus said very true word last night. Brian and I had tried to get Transmitter built. There was nobody. At that time, nobody in Ireland would build a Transmitter for you. There was nobody, whether they were capable or not, they didn't want to know. And between money and an odd stroke here and there, we still failed. And we pulled the plug on the one in the convent, and the fact that it didn't cover, sometimes depending on which way the wind was blowing. If it were blowing the right way, we could get 5 miles. If it were blowing the wrong way, we could get it down in Church Street. And you were there at the time.
That's right, yeah.
Probably along with myself, the longest serving member of that.
Can I stop you there for one moment? Because here's a memory. I don't know whether you'll want to know this memory or not. We're on our last hour, so I can say whatever I please to you. Well, not for you.
Oh, you're still on the payroll now.
Oh, sorry, yeah. Brian, I was actually thinking, I was coming back from a gig last night. As I said, reminiscing like of all the good times and all this sort of thing, which it was, 7 years, seven glorious years. Like, I mean, it was super. But before Christmas here, like every Christmas on CCR, of course, the advertisements, like you were in studio and luxurious studio in there and all for recording ads and one thing and another, and you were up to your neck and you were just that and the other. Do you remember back, Brian Riley, when we used to have a script and we used to do it live on air?
That's right.
Now,
I remember it very, very well, Tony.
Could I ask you to repeat one advertisement?
Floods.
Into Flora Forest.
Fresh fruits. I have learned a tiny little bit.
It didn't actually come out.
The thing, Tony, unfortunately or fortunately, was the fact that the thing was totally new to everybody.
Right.
We, and I'm not saying this in a glorified manner, but we pioneered the thing in this part of the country. When we started, we had tried the convent, and we didn't know. I mean, I had never used a tape recorder before.
Right.
A tape recorder that we use here. We have all used the ordinary tape recorder in the home tape recorder.
Right.
But as regards taping an ad, on what we thought at the time, on a kind of a half professional manner, getting like Billy Brown, you know. it was unheard of. We didn't know, and nobody around us knew, and we thought we knew, and we decided we'd make a stab at it.
Were you technically blowing it yourself?
Not technically, no. I had a flair for the thing as such, for the entertainment business, but not technically, no. So we closed up the one in the convent at the time. You were there, and at that stage, we didn't tape ads because we were getting a few, all right, but
that's
obviously
right,
for the area that we were covering, and we were putting the time and effort into it, but unfortunately, the technical people that were involved with us at the time, fair to them, you know, they just didn't know what, and we didn't know. Nobody knew.
Nobody knew.
Was, unfortunately, now it's very easy to get a transmitter built. They're no good today, obviously, but there are numerous fellas building transmitters around the country. It's no problem.
I was going to do a mystery object, the prize.
It's a radio station. Two of them, we used to, at the time, do the ads live.
That's right.
Somebody putting a script in front of me for Floods.
Floods in Flora Flores. Fresh fruit
script,
and vegetables.
Make it out for yourself, went on, and it was fresh fruit daily.
Yeah,
and unfortunately, it went wrong.
Yeah.
But nobody ever said it.
That's it, yeah, but like the memories, again, of the convent and then the portal, and Sean McManus and the Mars Bar.
Sean at the time used to be on
the breakfast show, and I used to follow
and my mother, indeed, and the rest of the family are well aware that sometimes Sean would be locked out. Yeah, it was like getting probably down Kesh or Port Leash or somewhere. There wasn't that many doors at the time, but Sean lost his keys, or just the wrong doors were locked at different times, and Sean, many a morning at 10 to 9, would come down to the house. I actually was still working at the time, as a draftsman, and I was trying to run the two things at the time, you know. And we made a decision then, after spending what we had spent on it, which was a very considerable amount of money, all that we had at the time. I'm talking about £10,000 or there or thereabouts. And
there was a lot of money that time, Brian.
Tony, I'll tell you, it was all that I had and the short along with it at the time, but we were into it, and we had got in so far that we decided that we'd go the whole way. And we started stage two.
Was it then? Did you not think at any stage, like while there, stage one was, we say, only going around the town, did you ever think at that stage, oh, look, the hell with this, you know?
We did. Yeah, we did. And our technical personnel at the time would have thought the same thing. But again, it was ignorance on everybody's behalf. Nobody knew.
Right.
And I kept clear.
You were determined that the size of the club.
I couldn't understand why, that if with money and expertise and all the rest, that you couldn't cover a certain area of 20 mile, 25 mile, 40 mile, whatever the case was. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't technically minded by any means, but I wasn't going to let it beat me. So we decided that we'd pull the plug on what was at the time Cabot Local Radio.
That's right. You remember? CLR.
CLR is right.
That's it.
And we had probably seen the, what would you call it, the people's reaction to it, Tony, at the time.
Yeah.
And we decided that this thing would happen if we got mileage.
Mm-hmm.
And we pulled the plug on that, and it took us, I suppose, 6 or 8 months. And the engineer that actually built our first transmitter for us was a Peter Gibney from Sunshine Radio in Dublin, who unfortunately left the airwaves yesterday. But Peter was a genius. But money sometimes wasn't good enough for Peter.
It didn't need a harvester either.
Right. And it was him, and I spent many and many a long day in the Sands Hotel in Port Marnock. Convincing Peter at that time, looking back, it's very simple to call it whatever you like. Peter had sense at the time, and I thought I had sense at the time, but he would not travel to Cabot to build a transmitter. He was afraid of the guards, he was afraid of the law, he was afraid of the departments, he was afraid of this. Mm-hmm. And he was employed on a full time capacity with Sunshine at the time, which I had cleared with Robbie Robinson. He wouldn't come to Cabot. He wanted to know what the scene was in Cabot and what. You know, about the guards and would he be safe?
Mm-hmm.
Not his own actual body, but would he be safe building that transmitter for us? At that time, Tony, again, we're going back, and we're probably repeating ourselves here. There were a few stations in Dublin, and there was Radio West.
Radio West, that was it, really.
That was it.
In Midlands, was
yeah,
it?
There was ERI, I think, in Cork at the time. We were, but in the Midlands, northwest, north of there was nobody else at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Which left it very easy for people coming after you. Because I would think, and I'm not saying it in a big-headed fashion by any means, but we had done all the groundwork.
That's right, yeah.
We went to an awful lot of trouble looking back, and that there was a shorter way around. Again, experience, you can't buy it.
That's it.
I wouldn't say that we have learned the whole thing yet, but I could get a short way around certain things at the minute.
Mm-hmm. I was driving down to a gig a couple of weeks ago there, down to the
carry carriage. Honest.
a little bit closer. No,
it's my tour at Donegal.
I don't play with Jean Stewart, no. I was travelling down to the Carrick Springs there, and I happened to see a tractor on a very long trailer, and it brought back
did indeed, Tony. And you, again, yourself.
It brought back the memories. May I jog your memories way back to this extra long trailer and what do we call them? A railway carriage.
You can't jog it because it's there all the time. It's all been the hassle. Nobody would ever believe that a radio station would take up so much time. Again, if we were to do it tomorrow morning, we would obviously we have slate experience. I wouldn't say we know it all, but at the time, Peter Gibney insisted that we needed a railway carriage to house the transmitter.
Yeah.
And for people in the Cavan urban area and its environs, will be aware that our actual main transmitter and our aerial are situated behind SO on the flat road in Cavan up on the hill of Field to Nancy and Ryan Wall, actually. And the hill, where no man dares to go.
Yes.
And the site, we had brought Peter Gibney down and a fleet of aerial experts, and the said that the site was the best that could be got.
Mm-hmm.
So we done a deal with Fancy Wall, and we got the aerial erected in sections of 10 foot at the time. And Peter Gibney insisted that the only way to house this transmitter was in a railway carriage.
That's when I became very friendly
with
Peter.
That's when you became Tony, top of the pops.
I will never, ever forget the shifting of that.
Tony, I was looking at that boat that they have there for some European race or a world race there that were bringing it through the Phoenix Park and from its what would you call it? It's wherever they built it, to the dock.
Right.
What do we call that boat for the Fastnet race or something?
Right.
And all the trouble they had with it. We had as much trouble with a railway carriage.
I will never forget coming down College Street, Paul. This was before your time, wasn't it?
Yeah, Paul was, he
was a star at the time. He was touring at the time. I will never ever forget driving down College Street with this monster of a thing on a trailer. And I don't know
how we actually ever got it on.
I don't honestly know.
But Peter Gibney had certain things that he wanted, and
he had to get
it. It was a spoke in the works, and whatever he said, he got, apart from the moon or the sky or something.
Right.
Like that. I mean, we traveled Ireland. We flew things in when there was no couriers from London and everywhere else. To keep them quiet, to get them on the road, and he would have it today and he'd want something else tomorrow. But the railway carriage was probably the last resort, and that's where you became sort of out on your own. The railway carriage at the same
situation. Nobody else would move, sir. That's right, yeah.
Cabin tires, as is now. And most people will be aware, a long railway carriage of 14 foot, I'm sure, with steel, to lift it from 0 to 6 foot.
Up to a hill.
We had two forklifts.
We had two forklifts, Paul.
Two forklifts,
yeah.
And it meant that two men were walking. So one went wrong at all.
That was it, she was gone.
And we had the trailer, and I want to emphasize that we owned nothing, only the railway carriage.
That's right.
The brain that we had at the time. We didn't own any of the equipment we were using, which left it all the more important that it worked right. Yeah. And I remember well Tony leading you down on the street, trying to stop the traffic with the flashers.
That's right.
Every minute I could see that railway carriage toppling off onto Carrick, and I thought, never make it.
And then when we got there,
we got to the gate of the hill, as we call it, the famous hill.
Famous hill, to look up the John Hill.
Two tractors,
yeah. Nigel's brother, isn't it?
And for 2 days to get up the hill.
That was it. My goodness. The tracks are still on the hill. I will never forget that. We did eventually, Paul, get it on the hill and get it off the trailer, and we sat down on the grass and we smoked a cigarette and we looked at that and we said nice words about it. To say the least. That was only one of the memories, and then the mast, of course, then
no job ever anywhere would give you the memories that you have from this. Mm. It was all, we were going into the unknown all the time.
That's it, yeah.
And it was a shot in the dark.
But isn't it great, Brian, to look at it today? I know today is a very sad day, right, we're all sad, but I mean, we can't leave it without magic. 7 years of magical memories, really.
Definitely, Tony. I would do it all again.
So would I.
My mother would probably.
I don't think my mum would put up with it either, but it's something that, I mean, you couldn't really explain it.
Tony, you could be here, you and I, and even Paul could be here till this time next week. We could talk about all the crack and all the rest. Definitely, you would never ever have the same again, and it was a challenge. It was something new.
If you had to do it again, Brian, would it be anything you would change? From Paul and myself, like. Is there anything, did you ever at any stage thinking, well, you know, if I
we,
do it
we
all again?
We certain challenges, Tony, at over the years. One major challenge we had, and I would have involved probably a lot more community use into it and cover in general. But again, running any business, you have to look at your costs. Mm-hmm. And we were working on small margins at the time. Mm. And we often thought and we often done interviews, but we always ran up against a stumbling block in the fact that we would call it unlicensed.
Yeah.
We were illegal.
Yeah.
And all the amount of people around the county and various counties that you could have spoken to. Mm-hmm. But when it came to any department, whether it be ACOT, whether it be
any of those government
services, as regards to the farmer and that, they weren't interested, obviously, because the jobs are more important. And we felt a stumbling block there, or we found a stumbling block, and we just pulled the plug on it.
But really, wasn't it a pity?
It was everybody that could have benefited from it.
Yeah.
We had the idea at the time, we'd done different programs on farming and different things, and we thought that it would be the weekly farming program of interest to the farmer, which acts from a specialised advisor or whatever field he may be in, that a farmer could sit down at a certain time of the evening. We done MART reports. We tried an awful lot of things, Tony, some successful, some unsuccessful, but they were great and they were a challenge.
Would you mastermind yourself, actually masterminded some gems like Liney 5? My goodness.
Liney 5 was a very...
The biggest thing of all time.
It was a great game to me, yeah. It was the simplest game on radio. We said it every morning, Paul and I, for years, the simplest. But it was the simplest game on radio, and I had checked.
Like, we'd have to give you full admiration for this, like, because it was...
No, but seriously...
Top of the morning
to you. I never won. That's the thing. I was playing it every morning. I seen the numbers before anybody, and I still didn't.
But to mastermind something like that, Brian, I mean, even the launching of it, like...
It was great. Well, there was two of us in it, Tony. There was St. Pat's Clubhouse in Dona and I suppose Seamus Riley and his wife Celine were a main part of it, only for the radio, but no vote, and only for St. Pat's, and indeed only for the people that were buying it. But I mean, when I saw the game, and I had been looking for a game like that, because there are numerous things you can do in radio, but when you're running a ship like this, a 24-hour-a-day thing, if you can sit back and for a couple of hours a day, the unfortunate thing about a radio station, and this one in particular, you could be sitting down to your dinner,
yeah,
and it was off the air, and you're just up and out.
You're on call 24 hours a day?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
95 was, I had been approached by a couple of different companies about different games. I had seen them and looked at them and examined them, and I wouldn't go for them. Others did, I didn't. I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
I saw 95, and I went for it in a big way, and it worked. I, at the time, looking back, Tony, we ordered three sets for 3 weeks.
Three sets.
We thought it would last 3 weeks, and Seamus Riley and Donna got involved in it, and the people started to buy them, and it went for 100.
Have you any idea how much it was actually given away?
£97,600.
What? £97,600
was given away.
And the one thing that stuck with 95 was the fact that other radio stations copied it to me, you know, with Paul Claffey and Ballyhonus and Big M and numerous ones around the country, and obviously I won't divulge the what they done, but what we done and what we always try to do on it, that if we send £500 we've
committed. Yeah. But you always stuck
and
to that.
It weren't claimed. You know,
you went on to the next week, but
it just carried on. It was a fair game to everybody.
Yeah.
It was a fair game to CCR, to St. Pat's Clubhouse, and indeed to the listener, because it was, and we worked it out last week. Now, working it on the weeks at £500, obviously it doesn't add up to £97,000, but there were weeks that we gave away £1,000, and some weeks we gave away £900, which was one game that didn't click for some reason, the £900. We thought, after Christmas last year, I think it was.
That's right, yeah.
Of the £500 jackpot. And it did, of course, click, but thought that it would have reached this guy. It stuck its own, definitely, and it was a massive selling game right throughout the 148 weeks. But that's just the one thing about it. You have to try things, Tony, to discover it. Looking back at them, it's very easy.
As I said, you masterminded the 95, but not alone that, the launching of it. I mean, that was something. You actually made Paul and I do things that if somebody would ask us to do them, could
gimmicks, not? Tony, are the biggest thing in any business. They can work in some, others that don't. I wouldn't call myself the best man at taking up a gimmick, but if you work on the right one, I think from memory, Tony, the Lucky Luke and Lucy thing was involved with the magic passwords. It was the magic password.
Who was it? Oh, yeah.
The magic password for those who maybe have just tuned into us for the first time today.
Was again.
It was a 7 year. Magic password was the best.
That's right.
It was the biggest challenge every person in this building ever got.
How was 95 launched, was it?
95 was launched just in the clubhouse, Tony, I think, with a publicity campaign of handbills on the radio and a couple of gigs in St. Pat's Clubhouse, I think, when every member of CCR, excluding myself, I can't either be fully guitar and if mine play one.
Oh, that's
we
right.
We launched this in the clubhouse with the jazz band.
That's
at the
it.
Same.
My memory is gone.
The magic password was
the magic password. Yeah, that was the time that you put Paul and I to work, really and truly.
It was the first time, Tony, I think, in all the years we were here, that you were really good into the unknown, because we obviously there are people in the county and surrounding counties that listen to other radio stations, and we started about this, and I thought that we need someone to launch it.
Right.
A game is a game, but if it's not sort of promoted right and all that, it wouldn't make sense. Now, the magic password, we had a couple of rogue signs which were probably famous for it. We went about.
Of course, the Patrick's Day, wasn't it?
That was the launching day. We tried to plan it in such a way that it would coincide with some festive location, and we came up with the idea. Paul, Bernie, yourself, and myself, we came up with one that we would dress two people up and have them handed out handbills, something unusual.
Where are we going to get
these
two?
Brian, you're on, it's
17 minutes past 2 o'clock. Come on, you're on air now. Where would you ever dream of looking for two people?
There's one thing about
two quite sensible persons.
One thing about the staff around here, Tony, and I'll have to say that I could thank them for years, is that nothing was... nobody ever said no about you.
But it was all a happy family, wasn't it?
God. Well, 20 spot here and there.
Not true. That's not true. That's not true. That is not true at all.
No, that was one thing about yourself and Paul and all the fellas. Nothing was ever, if I came up, and sometimes I know that you yourself often laughed at some of the things that we came up with.
Still do.
It was a challenge, Tony. It was different. You were doing sort of, it wasn't an ordinary 9-to-5 job.
Do you remember Paul today? Do you remember the Paul?
The
Paul today. Do you remember the day we went down to Dublin to buy this famous outfit for?
I wasn't allowed to go there.
Well, head. Do you remember that we went into a gimmick shop, wasn't it?
O'Connell
Street. We bought the head. Walking down O'Connell Street, and Paul said to Brian was doing his usual march out in front of us, and Paul, you said to Brian, oh, look at the head. Brian turned around and thought it was somebody. And you held up the face. Yeah.
Lucky Luke and Lucy told me where it was. At the time, it was magic. Mm-hmm. And the magic password game was the fact that the idea of Lucky Luke and Lucy, we promoted on the radio, and we also got yourself and Paul to dress up in the outfits, and we thanked Patricia and Celine for making them for us at the time. It was something different, Tony. A person handing out handbills and putting them on a car, and most of our listeners and everybody are aware that you get into your car, you turn on your wipers, and they're gone.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. And this thing of handing them out, the fact that it was to grab people's attention, and I can tell you after 7 years, it did.
Oh, it did, yeah.
It was the magic password, but it was a magic group at the time. Now, the other thing, when we did actually start the game, and you were in this thing from the start, as was I, when we started on the first day, our intention was to pick phone numbers out of a book at random of the old 49 areas, the counties and the north. And the phone on the Monday that we started, I think, and I'm not by any means exaggerating the figures, I think we took in about 5,000 calls to people that wanted, that were aware of it, that rang us to say, listen, my number is 32,
that's right,
whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember that, yeah.
Ringing. Mm-hmm. Which left it all the harder for us then, because
that's right.
We often thought that if we pick a number at random and we ring, it could be the Bishop's House, it could be, it could be anybody. You know, we were always afraid. There was that moment of suspense when the call would go on air.
Oh, yeah. And it's actually ringing.
Who is going to answer? And technically, or any other way, you can get somebody, if you come on, you say, what was our line at the time?
You had to. What's it?
The first thing you had to say was CCO or the big one. But if somebody picked up the phone and said, hello, 3261, whatever.
Yeah.
And you said, this is CCR, and you've just lost yourself £50, they could as easily tell you to.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I never forget one call we done. It was quite early in the morning too. We done a call while I was on, and this lady came on and she said, hello, this is whatever her number was, and I said, hello, this is CCR, the big one, you've just missed yourself £50. And went on and on and talked to her, and she says,
will you hold on a minute, she says, will you talk a little bit slower, what are you saying? This was going on.
It was the unknown, Tony, and the very fact of it going out across the air. We don't have any delay process in the fact of a phone call where RTE can delay a certain,
that's right, yeah.
You know, you can delay the thing if something goes wrong where a person would use code language or whatever, whatever the case may be, that you could slightly delay it. Here we couldn't, it was on.
But it worked well, like, I mean, it was really a success.
It was the best, the 95 was a simple game on radio. The magic password was massive. It was the best game ever, and it went so fast, and in actual fact, it sort of made history. Peter Smith, who manages Gene Stewart and Liam Riley and God knows who else, but at the time he had been looking at
does he want a couple of disc jockeys?
Well,
go ahead, Brian, sorry. Sorry,
Peter
one ahead, Brian.
We've been friends for years, and he mentioned to me that he had this, he came in actually to the farm hotel we made, and mentioned to me that he had been talking to this Mick Flavin. Did I know anything about him? And I said, yeah, we've been playing his tape occasionally there. What do you think of him? I said, I think he's a very good singer. No one, Peter, at the time, wasn't that interested in managing too many other bands.
Right.
And I had Brendan Quinn playing on the farm, I think, on the night, and he talked about him, and he said that he had been overseeing this chap, and he was magic. He thought he was magic. And it was a month afterwards that Mick Flavin played his first professional date. Mick had played the pubs and the cabarets.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
For years, but
knew Mick for
the
years,
boys got down to business and they had a deal among themselves, and Mick Flavin was launched actually at the presentation of the £50 notes in the Major Pass within the cool down club.
Hello. with Luke and Lucy.
And he put 485 people, 500 people,
that's
which
right.
At the time, for Mick Flabbin, looking back on it, Mick wouldn't have played County Cavan all that often.
That's right, yeah.
Would have been his nearest stomp.
That was it. He was doing Longford,
Cavan
that
town,
area.
He wouldn't have been going to hold himself in Longford. Mm-hmm. It was a magic turn for him. It was his first professional date with his new band.
Mm-hmm. Which it worked very well for the whole lot. That's right. Do you remember that time?
I do, surely. Just when you were talking there, proves what we don't realise here when you're sitting here and you're on your own. Proves the power of radio.
Oh, yeah.
For yourself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just when Brian was talking about Mick Flabbin. I remember in the C60 days.
Mm-hmm.
And it was CCR to give us the jolt up.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. And we didn't realise. I don't think anybody realised this. The power.
Yes.
Another one.
But the more...
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
That's it, yeah. As Paul was saying there, the power of the radio. Right. Paul, what about you? Can I get you in? I'll give you a rest there, Brian, for a couple of months.
7.5 years.
That's a lot.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind. He told me last week he was finished his last show, and he's been on longer than any of us so far today. Right, Tony, you've asked us, what's your happiest moment, Tony? Come on.
The last 7 years, Paul. Seriously, every day was different. Every day that I came in and sat down here was different.
Yeah.
There was no two shows the same.
Yeah.
And my memories, I have 7 years of very, very happy memories. And if I live to be an old man, I will never, ever forget that man there, Brian Riley.
Well, he gave us the start.
He gave us the start. Not alone did he give us the start, but, I mean, you know yourself, the thousands on top of thousands of people that we have actually met on telephone,
yeah.
Doing live gigs. We say at the time we used to do St. Patrick's Sports and Social Club in Dona, Luke and Lucy. Like, I mean, to meet all those people and the normal run of things, like, you know what I mean, without out from CCR, you know, you would never dream of meeting them.
Again, it's the power of radio, you see, and it's the people. We are going to miss it, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
It's the people in general.
Yeah.
The ones who will suffer, unfortunately, from this.
Right, yeah. Yeah. But still, you know, as I said...
David Beatty just walked into that.
Who?
David Beatty, the photographer, just arrived.
Money doesn't fall. Oh, excuse me. As you were saying to me there, I have many, many memories, like as we're, Brian and I were talking a little bit earlier on, even from way back to the start, from taking the railway carriage up to the hill till this present moment.
Yeah.
I mean, I have lived very, very happy memories.
Yeah.
Ups
and
downs.
Like you said before,
ups and downs.
It was like one big happy family. When you were bold, you got told off. There's mother there in the corner.
There's no answer to that. What are you blushing for, Brian?
But when you were good, you got an extra special treat as well.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Sausage roll.
Oh, God. Just at this moment of time, I thank Maudie and all the gang, our friends down under us here for that.
Beautiful cake.
Wow, beautiful. Looking forward to that.
Did you have any yet?
Not yet, no.
It's been hidden. Did you not notice? It's
been
gone. It's been hidden.
Memories with me, Paul. I have, as I said, I could talk to you till this day a week about memories and about CCR. Everything was a really and truly marvellous memory. Probably the greatest memory, and I have to say this, the greatest memory of all times was the time that we were doing the Line 5, doing the live shows in St. Patrick's Sports and Social Club. And of course, the late, great Charlie McNally. We can't forget Charlie.
God bless him.
Dear friend, and I will never ever forget one of the nights that Charlie and I were out the back in a store. It was the only place that we could change, and we were dressed up as two women.
Yeah.
I was a Dublin woman, and Charlie was another woman. And I will never forget Charlie, and it was freezing cold, and we were changing into our gear, the women's outfit, and one thing. And Charlie had this enormous bra. Right? No, this enormous bra, and it padded it all. And he said, how am I going to get this on me, you know? He said, take off your shirt and put it on. We were freezing. And poor Charlie looked around me, and I said, Charlie, God, there has to be a better way of making a living, you know? Poor Charlie turned around and he says, don't worry, son. Don't worry. Things will get better. And poor Charlie, I was thinking about him. I've been thinking about him since. Like, I mean, he was one of the best.
Genuine character.
He was indeed. That would be my greatest memory, Paul, of doing that live show with Charlie McNally.
I remember it well.
On that,
figure.
On that, like while we when we came into when we were announced on stage and we were coming up through the audience, and there was this old gentleman with glasses, I'll never forget him, and Charlie and I met a terrible attack on him altogether. The poor man nearly died. I thought he turned all colours. He didn't know what to make of it all. But we had a script, right? Now the way we worked the scripts, we had them on fool's cap. Is that what they call them? Yeah. The big sheets, right? Now we had newspapers. So what we done was we pinned the sellotape, the fool's cap, on the pages. Right, so as to look up on stage, we were actually reading the newspaper. We were reading the scripts, right? So halfway through the show, I turned the wrong page, which of course skipped the script as such, right? And Charlie looked at me, and I skipped the script, and we ad-libbed the rest. I'd say about a full half hour we ad-libbed.
All ad-libbed.
And I mean, Charlie, I'm doing that for the last 7 years. That would be my greatest memory, I would say, of the late, great Charlie McNally. I'd really like to say a very good afternoon to Lula, Baileen and Anne-Marie as well in Listenski. That was a great memory.
And here's hoping they have a happy new year. I thought so with you this time, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about memories, Tony, and you're talking about Charlie now. I'm a relative junior to CCO. You've been here since the word go, and we have another man here.
The man who used to share his Mars bar in the porthole in the condom. Sean McManus.
Ladies and gentlemen, Sean McManus. Sean,
you're very welcome.
How are you?
Get him down there.
Hello, how are you doing?
Did you bring your Mars
nice
up with...
Nice to see you all. Everything's fine. Happy New Year to you all. Happy New Year, lad.
Oh, ho.
What can I tell you?
What can I tell you? Have you got your Mars...
The kingdom, my friend.
Have you... Oh, my God.
I just handed over to my boss the keys of the kingdom. They were the keys that let me in at night, me out at night, you know?
Right. It saved you going down to the house. We were just actually talking about...
It saved me from climbing a long, big hill early in the mornings, in the cold mornings. Look,
Sean, we were just reminiscing here about the Conway, when it all was talking about there about the good old days in Conway.
Yes.
And about the time that many a morning you were locked out and you used to have to go down to Brian's house about 9 o'clock in the morning. I used to enjoy the Conway coming on after.
Oh,
after
Mrs.
you.
Riley, yes.
Do you remember at the time you used to share your Mars bar with me?
Yeah, one morning I was on and I'll never forget. Tony was on after me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you were on after me, Tony.
That's right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was the time of So Deep as the Night business. However.
Yes. Now. Now we have it.
So I'm ringing a bell in Tony's ear.
You are indeed. So Deep. Do you remember that? I. This is true, folks. This is very, very true. I was actually listening to an album in the car or something I came across. It was Tony Christie, So Deep as the Night. Now, Sean and I, every morning, we used to be always talking about songs. We used to be always talking about tunes and one thing and another. And I was very, very proud going into you that morning. I said, Sean McManus, when you're finished the show, I have something special to play for you. Do you remember that?
I have this
gem of a song. Put it in the cassette. In the tape unit.
Put it in the cassette,
and I was really proud starting my show that day because I said to myself, "Well, oh, God, now here's a song McManus has not heard. Press the button, said good morning, the whole works, So Deep as the Night, Tony Christie. Pulled down the fader, down the microphone, looked around, and here was Sean McManus singing it word for word. You disappointed me that morning.
Well, what can I tell you, Tony? You know what I mean.
That was and I felt very proud about having this new song for you.
Yes.
And you knew it word for word.
Honestly, really, it was wonderful. But the sharing of your Mars bar, that used to be wonderful because, when it was cold up there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when you'd look out the old porthole, you know, you'd think you were on the Queen Mary or something. Looking on a Caribbean cruise, a Paul would say £250 in your pocket spending money.
Sean, we're reminiscing on golden memories. Give me some of your golden memories from the years of broadcasting. You've been with us from the start, too.
Yeah, I've been all the time, and it was really wonderful.
Your favorite statement, just hang in there, boys.
Yeah, hang in, man. Yeah, that was it. But I had lots of wonderful days, wonderful mornings, cold as though they were.
Mm-hmm.
But you'd meet the people early in the morning coming from mess, and they'd say, don't forget an old song, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that really happened, and... Not alone that, but the fact was that you were never sure that the door would be open. Like, there was quite a lot of talk. They made a film one time called The 39 Steps. And Robert De Natt was in it. And I used to picture myself with a case full of records climbing those 30. Good Lord. Looking for a key to let me in. But there was no use looking for Brian because I wouldn't know where Brian was.
Brian, Riley, you have a sin to answer for. You know that.
We always got the key anyway. But there was one really wonderful, and then the show would be over. I think we started at 9 o'clock in the morning at that time.
That's right,
yeah. Tony would be on then at 11 o'clock.
Sean, you became very famous for the material you were playing both then and now, of course, with your nighttime, Still Up Tonight. The big band sounds and all that sort of thing. That was really your type of music, wasn't it?
It was, because I studied it, Tony, way back, you know, way back in time.
Give me a little bit of the story of Sean McManus back to the years of the singing, before radio, Sean. Like, you were always involved in music.
Always,
right?
Yeah. Well, from I left school.
Go back to the pantomimes, go back to the good old days, like on the road or whatever the case may be. Give us a little bit of your history there.
Well,
on the road.
I was so happy in Cavan here. We used to have a pantomime every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really wonderful preparing for that. Little prams here and prams there, and the loan of stuff for to make a nice panto.
Right.
And it always turned out wonderful for the people of Cavan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And from then on, we went on into with Paddy Riley and Michal Smith. We got together, and for 1 month, night after night, we ran a month in the town hall for the handicapped children.
Mm-hmm.
And every night there was a different concert of all the great artists now that you can mention of the show band era.
Right.
Brendan Boyer, The Lot.
Right.
Joe Dolan, my old friend from Mullingar. And,
are you going back that far, Brian, you are?
Yeah. Well,
you remember those concerts, yeah?
Brian and all the boys, you
Brian
know.
Brian used to do the Middleton virus. Oh, God.
Yeah, and ran a different show every night, Paddy and me.
And this used to be all...
it was really wonderful, yeah.
Obviously, you used to do an awful lot for charity, yeah?
Yes, that's right,
It was all for charity.
All for charity, yes.
Sean, were you a trained singer?
I was, yes. Yeah, I studied music for almost about 10 years.
Right.
Voice production.
You do quite a lot, too. Even today, you still do quite a lot in the cathedral.
Well, I do. I'm in the choir there, and very, very happy and proud to be in the choir. And now that the CCR's off the air, I don't know what I'm going to do with those 2 hours.
My goodness, yeah.
CYM is again the old cue, the 147 break, maybe you never know. The rub of the old green or something like that. Oh, yes, Davis, look out.
You have a very rare collection of material.
Yes, of course. Really, right back. You know,
even the tune into you at night, I mean, wow. You know, even stuff now that I would like and would know absolutely nothing about.
Yes.
I mean, to sit back and listen, it was more than a pleasure.
Yes.
Really, it's really
you know something, as you mentioned, that I'm just thinking. All those spiders who used to move over for me in the archives. I wonder how they'll think. Is it another Christmas for them or something? They can sleep on now. Cobwebs will be all over the place.
Yeah. But magic and memories, Sean. Like, I mean, you know, as I keep saying today, it's a sad day. Of course it is a sad day, but the memories are there. I mean, they'll live forever, won't they?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, Johnny. I'll tell you something about it. It's not alone the memories, but the lovely people that we met. And, you know, the lovely little things mean a lot, as the song says.
Right.
But to think of little pets that were lost and found with CCR.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
To think of the famine days that what CCR did.
That's right, yeah. Right.
And the homes that were burned, that CCR found homes for these people. And the people themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really wonderful.
It's CCR. Really the power. Get Brian back in on that when they were. Brian's still there. He is, indeed. Brian, that's something... Well, we didn't miss it. Maybe we still
about the memories, Tony. There was so many different things that happened, and apart from the jamming, I suppose. But
we have a song, haven't we?
That you just after rocking me memory on there were one Tommy Lynch from Mullaghorn.
That's right.
Arrived into the office one Saturday morning to tell me that he had a problem, and I thought it was a problem with a disc jockey, a complaint or something, and I spoke to him. And he went on to tell me that his home had been completely demolished the previous couple of nights.
Right.
And I listened to his story, and as it happened, we had a fire in the house on that same night. Not actually that bad, but I was sort of a bit put up about that. And then when I heard his story, that the lot, he had four walls and a chimney breast. And Lindsay Shelburne actually was on the air at the time. And I was inside making a cup of tea, and I thought, and I was very sympathetic towards his cause, obviously. And we went about, I think we started off ourselves, the radio station, with £100. And within a matter of 2 hours, we had £3,500. And at the same time as putting out the appeal, we also put out a thing for a mobile phone if anybody had one. And
that's right, yeah. Up,
Stadone Lara. Beyond Lara's
different now, definitely.
Different
now, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Supplied us very kindly with a mobile home, and I mean a big mobile home.
That's right, yeah, I remember that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he gave it to us at a reduced rate, for it was valued at £5,000. He gave it to us at three, and Brian Finley and myself, Brian more so to be fair, the next morning was up at the crack of dawn, and a few fellas from Ullerborne, and they got the, and now it's some job, Tony, towing a 40-foot mobile home
yeah.
The back lanes of Tipperna. To Mullerborne. And we eventually, I joined in about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We eventually got the mobile home. And the state that poor Tommy and his wife and the kids were living in was deplorable. They were having their tea actually in the byre. It was as bad as that. The house was demolished. Totally. So that was one, and our listeners proved their strength again. The other one was Ethiopia, who had the Turok O'Reilly approaches about that.
The auction was
£17,500, Tony. We have a chap, we were talking about him earlier on, and he played his first professional date in the Hoedown Club at the Farnham Arms Hotel. He's linking up with us on a kind of a nostalgia trip down memory lane from the Drummond Hotel in Ballykelly in Derry. On the line, hopefully, from there, is Mick Flavin. Mick.
Hello,
Mick Flavin.
Hello, Brian. How are you?
How are you?
Not too bad. And yourself?
Your manager never takes a break.
Ah, no. He's working round the clock.
Round the clock like yourself. Mick, you were up that part of the world last night.
That's right. We were up in Rathbone and Donegal, and we're back up in Buncrana tonight.
With Frank McBertie in the parting glass.
That's right.
Good night.
We had a big night up there.
Good. And you're in Buncrana tonight.
Pardon?
You're in Buncrana tonight.
That's right. We're staying up in Buncrana, yeah.
Mick, we've got about 20 minutes left on the big one. Is there anything you'd like to say to our listeners or indeed to any of the fellas or whatever? Tony Brady's with... Hello, Mick.
Time, Brian.
Go on ahead, Mick. It's all yours.
Hello, Brian.
Yes, Mick.
Brian, I'd just like to say, you know, I think it must be one of the first stations, I'd say, in the country that actually played my tapes, you know?
I remember the day well, Mick.
Do you remember?
I do. You came in
but
to
you know
the
what,
hut.
Brian? I remember the first night I ever played for you over in the Hoedown in Cavan, you know? The Hoedown Club.
That's right.
And I went there with a small little band. It was actually a vanette, you know?
That's right.
With all the gear packed in the back of it. And we had about four lads and myself as well. You want to see the state of it? Honest to God. Can you imagine the height of me now stuck on a vanette, you know? But, you know what, like, I mean, it took me about a week to straighten up after it.
Hello, Mick.
Hello?
This is Tony Brady here.
Hello, Tony.
How are you doing? Mick, I remember it very well.
Do you remember it?
I remember you trying to get out of the van, all right.
Yeah, that's right. But you know what? It was a terrific night, that.
Oh, it was indeed.
Honest to God. But you know something, like, I mean, it's really sad, like, to see the station's gone off, and I mean, you know, like, it's, I don't know what the story is in the new year, but they have done so much, I mean, for people like myself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember there several times been over around the cabin area, dropping in to see and saying hello, and I mean, you know, the thing I liked about local radio and about CCR and stations like that was that, you know, like, no matter what you went in, was it a good tape or a bad tape, it was always played, you know? And you know, you're always fair to everybody, you know.
Thanks,
hello?
Mick. We're listening to you, Mick.
Yep.
Listening to you. You're there, you're on, you're okay.
Yeah, I can't hear, there's so much noise here in the background.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, Mick, I'll tell you what, you're tied for time and you're under pressure.
No, I'm all right, Brian, I'm okay now.
You're all right. The first day actually, Mick, that you came in, I remember it was on the hut on Farnham Road and you arrived in with the tape, I think it was on the days of Christmas.
Honest to God, that's
and
right.
You, I had never met you before.
2 years ago this Christmas.
And you wanted to put on an ad for the
you
thing.
Remember you were on the air.
That's
time.
Right. And I remember saying to you, it was a senseless exercise putting on an ad at that time for a tape for an unknown chap like yourself, because I remember showing you the schedule with 10 ads a break on it. And I said to you, listen, we'll play the tape, surely come back to me in the new year. And as it happens, Mick, you never came back to me. I don't.
Are we hearing stories, Mick? Are we?
No, we're all right.
Brian. I remember that day well because I was actually coming from playing over in Coote on a Sunday morning in a pub.
Right, enough. It was on a Sunday afternoon.
A Sunday afternoon,
I remember
it
well.
Myself and young Phil McLaughlin had played on that morning.
Right.
And I had the tape. The tape was only out about a week or 2 weeks at the time, you know.
Right.
And I went in and I remember saying to you, would you mind playing that tape? And you said, not at all. I'd play the hell of it, you know.
Yeah.
And so you did. And I mean, you know, like, I mean, the amount of publicity you gave me, Brian, and to, you know, I'm really indebted to you and to CCR and to all the DJs there as well, you know.
Right.
And I think it's an awful shame that they should be gone off the air, you know.
Well, Mick, I suppose the law is the law. And when we started way back, we started 7 years ago, and we thought at the time, we, Tony and I and the fellas here have been reminiscing on it, that if we got 6 months at the time, we'd be going well, and we got 7 years, and, you know, all we can say is thanks for the memories, I suppose.
Yes.
But, Mick, to you and to yours, and indeed to the fellas in the band and your management, we wish you the very best of luck.
I'd like to wish yourself and Tony there, and everybody that's associated with CCR, and I'd like to wish all the listeners out there a very happy new year, and I'd like to thank them all for the support they have given me, and I'd like to thank CCR for the amount of work they have done for me during 87 and all through 88, and, you know, hopefully we'll be back in 89. I think you will, myself, you know.
Mick, we'll talk to you soon, and thanks for your best wishes.
Brian, thanks a million.
Thank you very much indeed, Mick.
Thanks a lot.
Mick Slavin calling us there from the Drummond Hotel in Ballykelly in County Derry, and he's working tonight up there in Buncrana.
That's it. Will you join him, Brian, then?
No, not tonight. No, a decent fella and all the rest, and a great band, and a great manager, but not
We have Susan to go to tonight.
We have. Actually, in fact, Tony, I'll tell you what you could do. You could just make a little bit of history there yourself.
No, it's what are we here now? Am I? Could I be caught?
No, you won't be caught. No, I wouldn't catch you today. No, I wouldn't do anything.
I can't be on the It's me that I'm...
16 minutes, Tony. No, there's no problem. 16 minutes. 3 o'clock.
This is the first time I've actually been handed a cassette without playing it before I play it on air. So here we go.
And this just happens to be the very last commercial you'll ever hear on CCR.
Thank God for Keister Magic for a while.
It's the biggest ever New Year's Eve party, and it's on tonight at the new Hoedown Club of the Farnham Arms Hotel with international star Susan McCann and the Storytellers.
When you the heart out of me.
All your favorite songs.
I wanna be Bobby's girl.
Direct from RTE Television 1 tonight, live at a gala New Year's Eve party at the Hoedown Club of the Farnham Arms Hotel, Susan McCann and the Storyteller is. Susan McCann is on stage tonight at 11:30 p.m.
Well, that saves me some sweating, right? That's actually the first time I was ever handed a cassette without playing it before, because I used to pity poor Paul in the mornings. How did you feel about all that and playing that you were caught, Paul?
Well, to be honest with you, I loved it. The challenge was serious.
You really had, over the past couple of years, the two of you had this thing going. I mean, it really went off a couple of weeks ago.
Depends on the humour, Tony. If there was a row between the two of us, no cat or no dog went down.
What did you ever do with that cat anyway, by the way?
Shot him. No, Tony, we're glad to say he's alive and well.
What's he gone?
All you have to do is ring your mother about cat, and she'll tell you all about it. Tony, there's a couple of people calling to say hello to you.
That's the O'Regan family and Michelle Clark to the Clark family in 2 Kilimooney Drive, and Ruth and little Frankie in St. Philip's Place. I know Frankie is going away next week. He's going away on Wednesday, I do believe, out to Lacken. So the best of luck to you, Frankie,
for everybody
here at CCR. And also Mary and Patrick Clacy, Donna and Newton Butler, from Molly Carroll. And hello to Philomena and Sonny, two good friends of ours there, Philomena.
That's right, Philomena and Sonny. Always met them, actually, in rather peculiar circumstances many years ago, but from that we've had a terrific friendship, and we wish them and theirs all the very best in 1989. We'd also like to say hello to Mary Fitzpatrick. She works in Dona. She's cooking at the moment, we're told. Always a great cook, Tony, and you tried some of our
tips.
Mary in the kitchen in the clubhouse.
Oh, Mary. Thanks. Sizzling burgers.
Thanks for the burgers and the fish.
Oh, Mary.
Katie O'Reilly and Susan O'Hagan and Tullip Mungan and Cabin. Happy New Year from John and Anne O'Hagan and family in there in Liston Ski. And also hello to Mum and all the McDonald family.
And Helen Horrigan, is that right, up in the cliff? Tony, you...
Good afternoon to you, Helen.
Yes. Wish Helen a happy new year.
A very happy new year to you, Helen. Nice to hear from you.
And hello to John and Christine. And we couldn't forget Irene Smith and their tune our way in Carrickmore, would it? No, it's not Carrickmore. It's in Valley Hills, Keeler or somewhere around there.
Well, now, Brian, in all fairness, what are you acquiring? What are you asking us about Pally Hayes? Stop blushing, Barry.
Seems any other town, Tony, in the middle of the night.
You know, it's just...
Steve Stewart said about one time, what's so different about this time? One other thing, Tony, that stands out.
I was just thinking that you make a great district. Go on, anyway. Sorry.
Really,
Tony, you're a lovely hat.
I always thought of asking you to teach me how to play records over the years.
Oh.
One other little thing, Tony, that stands out, I suppose, in all of our minds, and I'm sure our listeners, and I suppose our advertisers more so than anything else, was the jam.
Well, Brian,
relentless exercise. upgrade the operation and to, to close it, as it happened. But
didn't do a lot for our hearts either.
Didn't do a lot for our hearts in the hill either, no, but we won in the end, which was, it was an exercise brought on by a couple of people in the area who, and for some reason we never done anything, but relentlessly insisted.
Ooh, that was a big one.
Wow, we,
I mean, only
10 minutes
to go and he starts this. All right, I'll take
I'm jamming our signal and people will be aware of it that when we were playing commercials, this thing came
that's
on.
Right,
the reason
being
that we were operating as we are now and have been for the last couple of months in Musicland House, and we were linking to our main transmitter, and people, a stranger in the country told me, never knew that we were actually linking by air. We had an FM transmitter here and we were sending the signal direct from here to our main transmitter. And it was automatically picking it up and sending it to the medium wave. It was link.
It was the link that was
between here and our transmitter that I think was being broken. And obviously there was nothing being fed into our main transmitter.
Brian, can I jog your memory on that?
Tony,
really?
You can indeed.
I'll press this button. This should bring back some.
Don Allen, take that microphone.
Oh, whammer, the jammer is jamming again. The coward of the county. I think a whammer the jammer.
Ooh, everyone considered him the coward of the county.
Whammer the jammer.
It never stood one single time to prove the county wrong.
Never had a leg to stand on.
His mama named him
Jammer.
The folks just called him Jello.
And you know why? He's trying to block us out, because he knows we're number one. And the more he jams, the more he makes us popular in 12 counties. Oh, thank you, Whammer the Jammer, you have made us number one.
Everyone considered him the coward of the county.
Whammer the Jammer.
That's sort of good man, Don. Good man, Don. He was a better disc jockey than singer, wasn't he?
The biggest selling single of all time.
Brian Riley, one of your all-time favourite things to do was come around with your open microphone. We have a couple of very good friends in Studio One this afternoon, Mr. John Tierney. Good afternoon, Mr. John.
Good afternoon to you, Tony. How are you doing?
Give us a couple of memories before you...
A couple of memories. Well, just the one on the jammer there, actually, when we sort of moved, when he was still jamming, coming down with the van one evening here. And there was, I think, about six or seven of us hauled everything out into the back of the van and out the road. And we had set up and we were broadcasting, I think, on medium wave, and he was still jamming an FM.
That's
which
right,
is the laugh that we had at him at the time. That's one of them. There's many of them.
Mm-hmm.
We could be here all day. We don't have another year. Go through all the memories.
Another year. John, anything you'd like to say to your listeners or your friends?
Well, I'd like to thank each and every one of them for the requests, the dedications, all the people we met, all the friends we met over the past 5.5 years here on the station. And wish them all the best in 1989. Happy New Year to everybody.
John, thank you very much. Well, no. Where do we I'll tell you, it's a good job it's not television. Where has she gone? A little lady behind the scenes of all, and a lady that kept us all together there through thick and thin, bad humours, and the whole. She put up with us all these years and years, and indeed, it's a bit well here. For the first time, I think, live on the air was Bernie Cullen. Good afternoon to you, Bernie. Bernie was the lady who wants.
No.
Bernie, of course, as I said, the lady that took care of us all, kept us all together really over the years. She answered the phone, and she was also on the road as well.
That's
Bernie,
right.
Memories.
Memories, a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
The best one being, of course, we had to join the organisation and we met such lovely people, such as Paul Cox, who was the biggest.
Yes, yes.
Head in my life. No, Paul. No, I would like to take this opportunity, indeed, of thanking all the people that I met, especially on the road, all my advertisers who put up with me, and indeed all the business that they put my way. I would like to wish each and every one of them a very happy new year. Not forgetting, of course, my mum, a very happy new year to her. And indeed, to all the lads. I mean, you know, you were bad sometimes, but the majority of times you were really, really nice.
Well, Bernie, on behalf of myself, Paul, and indeed all the guys here, may we say a very, very big thank you to you for putting up with us over the years, because, I mean, well, we were a bit of a handful some days. We were,
and
really.
The tea, of course, Tony. Don't
the tea,
tea,
yes. We'll let John Hogan follow me, Brian.
Yeah.
Bernie, what can we say to you? Thank you very much indeed for more happy memories.
It was a pleasure.
And
always a pleasure.
You'll always be a friend for life.
Thank you.
Marvelous here. All right, Bernie, thank you. Fergal Donohoe, the gentleman who done the evening roundup show. Good afternoon to you, Fergal.
Good afternoon, Tony. How is the things?
Oh, yeah, very good. Very good. Sounds good.
Fitting well.
Yeah, well, not too bad at all. Fergal, your last couple of words.
What do you say?
Yeah.
Just thanks to everybody who was listening, mm-hmm. sent in the requests, and wrote in to the quizzes that I was giving away. Mm-hmm. And I'd also like to thank Brian. I was a devil.
He was worse. He was worse this way he hired you.
I was able on a Friday. I'd say to Brian, maybe get off tomorrow. He says, I have to go away. You two's playing in Dublin. Christy Moore's playing in Dublin. I have to go and see him. Every time, no problem.
I wonder if Christy Moore appreciate all this, does he?
Christy? Mm. Well, he didn't ring me yet, but so we have 5 minutes left yet. You never, that could be him in the background there now.
Fergal, last couple of words.
Just hello to everybody and wish everybody who is listening a happy 1989. That's it, Tony.
Right. Well, now, the gentleman who Fergal taken over his evening roundup from just after joining us in Studio One, a friend for many years and indeed many happy memories too, went on to bigger and better things. Brian, I'll let you introduce.
Over the years, we lost an awful lot of staff. We gained an awful lot of staff, but we lost equally as many. Thank God, most of them are still friends. And a lot of them are still personal friends. And one man who I think was the first man ever to broadcast on CCR, I remember it well because I think at that time you could hear yourself, well, you couldn't actually hear yourself, but you could hear a signal at Killigarry. A good friend from many years ago. He's on BBC at the minute. And God knows where else next. Owen McConnell.
Owen, very good afternoon to you.
Tony, how are you?
And it's lovely to see you.
Good to see you.
It's great.
Peculiar circumstances. But
yeah, yeah. Sad, Owen, but it's I'll tell you, it's wonderful actually sitting here today reminiscing on all these things.
But I couldn't let the occasion go past without dropping in the same room.
That's right.
There when I started, at you closer down.
You were indeed, yeah. You were one of the... Owen, I think, was the first, was he? Brian, too. You were the first man on air.
I remember about 3 or 4 cars went in different directions to find out what the signal was like. I said, this is my big moment, let me come back, sorry, we can't hear you.
You used to do the evening roundup too. Some good memories, Owen, yes?
Oh, yeah. Great mm-hmm. memories.
Yeah.
I remember the first time, actually, that...
you used to do a lunchtime special. Our dear friend Nigel used to call it a lunchtime special.
Right.
That's right.
Remember the first time Brian mentioned the radio station was that only we were having a couple of babies in the Derry Garage.
Right.
And at that time, Brian, in fact, was doing a run for the South on a Thursday to Dublin. And I used to go with him.
Come back, Brian. Come back. We hear this.
Papers the boat.
We always used to...
that trip to Dublin, actually, Tony, as you probably know yourself, was always a trip into the unknown.
Brian and I know that very well.
It was, really. I mean, you never knew... When you start, at least you knew you were going to the pier to dump off the papers for the boat.
But what happened after that was...
So then he told me that he was starting on the... He'd like me to be part and parcel of this setup, you know. And I was delighted.
Mm-hmm.
So then we went to the convent and Sean was there and you were there yourself.
Yeah.
Pat Hamill, of course.
Pat Hamill, of course, we can't forget Pat. Yeah.
Just go to the little window and say, what's the weather like today?
That's right. we actually did the weather forecast by looking out the window. That
I'd say we were the only radio station that had an accurate weather because we weren't getting that far, but the weather was accurate. The reports were very accurate. If it was raining, everybody knew it was raining.
It was definitely an on the spot report. And well, there you are, Owen. Last couple of words.
No, just it's a shame that it's going off. Perhaps there may be better things for you next year. To all the lads that I worked with down the years, many thanks, and thanks to Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course to Bernie.
Don't to Bernie as well.
And who was there before you? Margaret and Anne, of course, and Brian Finn.
Yeah, we're on our way over to Anne.
Great times. Somebody on the phone for you, Tony.
Is there somebody on the phone? Owen, thank you very much indeed.
Tony, thanks a million.
All right, well, now, there'll be somebody on telephone line one. Hello?
Hello?
Who's speaking?
Hello? Tony.
Paddy McNamara.
That's right.
How are you getting on?
Not too bad at all. I'm getting tears are starting to roll here.
The tears are starting to roll. You're in Granard and County Longford.
Listen, I called because I wanted to thank Brian, the boss there, who looked after the troop, the scouts that I've been running about a year ago there. And we were actually planning to go to CCR again this year, but unfortunately he's not going to be looking that way. And I'd like to thank him very much for all he done for us.
Right.
And on behalf of the troop, 6 Longford. Money Tanks.
Right.
To CCR, Brian, and he put his, left out his whole son there.
That's right, Paddy.
And Sean McManus, of course, that looked after us for the group.
And, that's right. I remember it well, Paddy.
There you are. Yeah. Went out of your, more than, went out of your way, and I'm delighted to be able to thank you, but unfortunately not on the day that it's in.
Well, the Lord never closed one door, Paddy, but he opened another if it was only for a draft.
We'll have to open another one. We'll have to open
Paddy, thanks for taking the time out to call us.
Okay.
All right, Paddy. God best of luck in 89, Paddy.
Happy
thanks
year,
for
all.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There we go. That's Paddy McNamara, dear friend of ours, bringing us from... where is that? Greenwich, County Longford, is that right? Anne wants to say hello. Anne does one. Well, we'd like to say hello to Anne. Indeed. Anne was a personal friend for years and years and years. Where's she? Where's she from? It's a roving microphone behind me. Come on. Come back up at a main street, will you? What can I say, Brian Riley? It's 3 o'clock.
What can I say, Tony? Thanks for the memories.
Well, what can I say? Well, first of all, I would like, on behalf of myself, my mum and dad at home, to thank each and every one of you, Paul, all the gang here, and a special thanks to you, Brian, for the memories, only for you.
And the rows.
And the rows, and the ups and downs and ins and outs. Your one gentleman will never be forgotten. That's it, one thing for sure. To all the people who have taken part in quizzes, mystery objects, we want to do a mystery object today. We'll not even attempt.
A radio station, Tony.
We'll not even attempt. And a very famous game called Tony's Twist. What can I say? Only thank you very much indeed to all the friends who rang in on quizzes, to all the friends we met on the road. And what can we say? I'm very, very happy
to everybody, Tony, and myself. I'd like to thank all the fellas, past and present, and the girls that worked in the office and sold advertising, and the disc jockeys. Some of them left us, some of them come back to us, and some of them are still, we're glad to say, well, going more than ourselves, going bad at the minute. But to Pat Hamill, who unfortunately signed off last Friday and has been on tour since with Gene Stewart, special thanks to him. We won't name all of them. Right. Obviously, for obvious reasons, but thanks and hello to Rita and Nicola and to Aidan and to all the disc jockeys, to Paul, to yourself, to Sean Fergal and John, and indeed the families, because at all intervals of the day and night, I had occasion to ring each and every parent or whatever the case may be, looking for a disc jockey or looking for a record or looking for something, and they were always very, very helpful.
Looking for something we took a lend of, I
suppose. Or stole.
sorry.
About that, Speaky.
I'll have to get back to Tommy Martin, if you're listening. Make room in the bandwagon for Brian's speaker, will you?
Tony, it was great, and to our advertisers especially, because without them, for starters, obviously we wouldn't have the finance to keep the operation going, and without our listeners, we wouldn't have our advertisers, and to those especially, both north and south, we say sincere thanks to all of them. It's been a good 7 years.
And thanks for the memories.
That's it, Tony.
Lads, you're all in singing voice, are you? Alright, here we go.
Sean McManus.
Oh, Sean McManus. I'm quite sure. Well, Vera Lynn, I think, was the lady, wasn't it? Paul? Paul, you remember her. Alright, here we go, lads.
We'll meet again. Don't know where. Don't know where. Smiling through,
brown eyes.
Just like you used to do, and the blue skies like the bright skies roll away.
Don't do a 12-inch version.
And we will say hello to the guys that we know, tell them I won't be long. And to tell them that so, I'll be singing the song while you're stringing along. We'll meet again. Don't know where, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again.
And he's in concert in McGinty some night, and that's by ticket only. Tony, that's it. We'd just like to remind our listeners that there's a gala. We must get a plug, because we haven't played a commercial all week.
That's it.
For Susan McCann.
Hold on, I'll tell you what we'll do, Brian. We'll sneak another 2 minutes, all right. Just hold on.
And this just happens to be the very last commercial you'll ever hear on CCR.
Thank God for kids, they're magic for a while.
It's the biggest ever New Year's Eve party, and it's on tonight at the new Hoedown Club of the Farnham Arms Hotel with international star Susan McCann and the Storytellers.
When you pull the heart out of me.
All your favorite songs. Direct from RTE Television 1 tonight, live at a gala New Year's Eve party at the Hoedown Club of the Farnham Arms Hotel, Susan McCann and the Storyteller is. Susan McCann is on stage tonight at 11:30 p.m.
There you go, Brian. I'm not even charging for that, but all right. That's a freebie, Brian.
Glad it wasn't jam, Tony.
That's it. God, 3:05. Lads,
1, 2, 3.
Thanks for the memories.